Well, good morning once again. Morning. Nice to see everybody. All these wonderful faces that we haven't seen for so long. It's so great. Well, it's so encouraging. Thank you. Bread. How much do you know about bread? How many millions of metric tons of wheat are used each year to produce bread? Any idea? Any idea how many metric tons of wheat are used to produce bread to feed this world every year?
Billions.
How many?
Billions.
Billions? It's almost 800 million metric tons. All right. The top three producers of wheat are China, India, and Russia. Each produce over 100 million tons of wheat each year. Canada produces 34 million, right? Which is quite a lot, and we export a lot of it. Interestingly enough, France is about the same, too. And isn't bread amazing, right? Bread is, it's so versatile. I mean, I'm sure everybody has a favorite kind of bread, right? Whether it's rye or pumpernickel or whole wheat or oat or I love olive bread. And by the way, Mansonville here, they make great olive bread. If you stop by, it's really good. Sometimes they put the big, big olives, not the little slices. And that's when it's great, okay? And isn't that amazing that God provides all this ability to just take something very simple and make it into something marvelous? I love the smell of bread. Do you like the smell of baking bread? I still remember walking into the Stairs family home a few times, especially when you were on William Street, and I would smell bread baking. I mean, that is just so incredible, right? The smell of bread. My wife met Peter at the Walmart a couple of weeks ago, and he suggested, oh, you got to try this bread. Well, thank you, Peter, because now we're eating the Real Deal Bakery Portofino bread. It's an artisan bread. It is delicious, all right? But once again, it's an example that God provides, right? He is the great provider when it comes to bread and all the wonderful things that can be done with it. Where is bread in the Bible? Well, we find bread in the Bible all throughout. It is a symbol of so many things. And let's just start in the book of Exodus. God provided. In fact, it's interesting. We had in our prayer time this morning before services where it was mentioned that God is the great provider. And in Exodus chapter 16, he provided manna in the morning and he provided meat at twilight for those who had just come out of Egypt and they had to be fed. In fact, in Exodus chapter 16, verses 31 to 32, it says, the people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. And Moses said to them, look, this is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the wilderness when I brought you out of Egypt. And they actually took an omer of bread, of that bread, the manna, and they put it into the Ark of the Covenant. An omer. An omer weighs about 3.5 to almost 4 pounds, just as an example. I was reading, how can you describe an omer, in size? And one of the descriptions is, well, it's about 3.5 pounds. It's like taking 43 eggs and putting them into a jar. That's how much volume it takes, all right? It's actually equivalent to about 4 quarts or 16 dry cups of something, all right? This manna was cooked, it was baked, it was made into pancakes. It had an appearance of sort of frost or flaky frost on the ground. And every day, those people who had left Israel, left Egypt, had to gather up an omer, one omer per person. Okay? Now, if you estimate how many people were in the wilderness, men, women, and children, it estimated about 2 million people. So 2 million people picking up 3.5 pounds of manna or bread every day. All right, every day. That's a lot of manna. Okay. And actually, if you calculate, I did the calculation very quickly. It's 12.5 tons of manna or bread every year. And you know what's interesting about this manna and this bread? They didn't have to plant it. They didn't have to harvest it. They didn't have to do anything. It was given. It was a gift. It was provided for free by God. So why did they have this given to them for free? So they could live. It gave them life. It gave them life. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 3, it says, and it says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known. Why did God do this? To teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Already mentioned today in our service, in prayer and in reading, that every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord is there to teach us, to lead us, to guide us in all that we do. Where else do we find bread? We find bread in the Passover and during the first 7 days of unleavened bread. I don't know if any of you have eaten unleavened bread. It's disgusting. Okay? It is just flour and water. They call it matzos. I used to observe unleavened bread for many, many years. And the only thing you could do to make it taste anything close to being good was put peanut butter and honey on it. Okay? But when matzos was given, and unleavened bread was very, very meaningful, right? Very symbolic for many different reasons. But of course, they were there for the fact that in Exodus 12, it says, when the dough of the Israelites had brought from Egypt, they baked loaves of unleavened bread. The dough was without yeast because they had been driven out of Egypt and did not have time to prepare food for themselves. It's very symbolic of the time that Christ rescued and formed the nation of Israel. Unleavened bread. If you read in the book of Leviticus, bread is used as an offering before the Lord and presented every Sabbath day. David even took bread. He took it out of the house of God because he was hungry, much to the shock of those Pharisees at the time. All right. Bread, interestingly enough, and the value of what it meant and its symbolism, that was the first thing that Satan went to Jesus and said in Matthew chapter 4. He was led, and after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, when Christ was hungry, then Satan comes to him and says, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Interesting that bread, this symbol, it's more than a symbol, it's a symbol of life. Satan was trying to twist it and use it and turn its meaning away from the truth. Jesus says it's written. And Satan, by the way, he knows the word of the God, right? All of the demons know it, in probably better than we do. And yet Jesus just turns it right around and says, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. We are to live by bread. the bread, the Word of God. Walter led us in our prayer today. We've already said it. I don't know how meaningful it was when we, sometimes when we recite or read what is called or what Jesus taught us how to pray, and we get to that point, give us today our daily bread. What is he telling us? He's telling us that give us today our daily bread, not just the physical food, but the food that comes from his word. And when we pray, give us today our daily bread, the word says, give us, not just me, give us. Who's the us? It's all of those who are in the body of Christ. All of those who are in the body of Christ, not just in Mansonville or Canada, but all around the world. There are Christians who are the us, okay, who need the word of God every day, just like you and I do. And yet, some of them are persecuted, some are in prison, some are not even allowed to have a Bible. Not just in countries like China and North Korea, but other parts of the world like Nigeria and so on. And so when we pray, give us today our daily bread, give us, give it to them too. Because they need it. And if it's not available to them, somehow, God, do the impossible as you always do and make the word available to them. These people that are persecuted and abused. We are so fortunate and so blessed to live in an abundant world. And we pray, give us today our daily bread. And our daily bread is around us everywhere. How many different translations of the Bible? You can get it on the internet. You can get God's word anywhere at any time in this part of the world. What's so sad is that people say, well, don't have time today. Well, you don't have time for God to talk to you today? We get life from reading God's word, from the bread. Bread then comes to the next part. God, in the form of Jesus Christ, fed. First of all, I know you're going to think it's the 5,000. No, we're going straight to the 4,000 first. Okay? Jesus Christ fed 4,000 people. He took 7 loaves, not 5, 7 loaves and 1 fish. And when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they turned to the people. They all ate, were satisfied. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was 4,000 men, plus women and children. We were at the Manoir the other day, and we'll talk a little bit more about what happened there. But Walter made it very clear that if you have one guy, guaranteed there's other women and children that goes along with them. So therefore, this feeding from the 7 loaves wasn't just to 4,000 people. It was probably closer to 10 by the time you add the women and the children and so on. So he takes, and I try to figure in my mind, all right, you have 7 loaves of bread, you got to feed 10,000 people just to break up those 7 loaves. How long did it take to break up those pieces of bread and distribute them out to 10,000 people? All right, that must have taken, that in itself is a miracle. If anybody's prepared food for a large quantity of people, just think of having to feed 10,000 of them from 7 loaves of bread. All right? No matter how miraculous, you still got to piece it up and send it out. All right? And then we get to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And the first thing that happens is God feeds 5,000 people. And there he only uses 5 loaves of bread, but he needs 2 fishes this time instead of 1. Right. And after he's fed those 5,000 people, which probably were 15,000 or maybe 20, because the 5,000, once again, was only men. All right. After he had done that, miracle. He went and walked on water, right? And after he walked on water, we get to John chapter 6. And if you have a Bible, please turn to John chapter 6, starting in verse 25. And if you have a red Bible in front of you, it's on page 1657, 1657. And then, so when Jesus got to the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And he answers in verses 26 and 27, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed," in other words, the feeding of the 5,000 and the walking on the water, says, "I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." In other words, you didn't have to work for that bread that day. It was given to you. You ate the bread and you got full. And so you're following me, probably, I'm speculating here, that, hey, as long as we follow this guy, he's going to keep feeding us. All right. But no, he says, "Don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." What kind of food do you think that might be? Well, we're going to find out in a second. Okay. "Do not work for food that spoils." You still need that food to live, by the way. "But for food that endures for how long? For eternity. Eternity. Which the Son of Man will give you." He's going to give you this food that will guarantee eternal life. So it goes on, and so, "For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked, those who were following him, if you're following in the Bible, then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" And Jesus says, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one whom he has sent." And he asked, "Well, what sign then will you give me that we see it and believe you? What will you do?" And he answered, "Our ancestors ate the manna in wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." So Christ refers back to the manna, because the manna gave them life. And that life that they were given in the wilderness was given for free. They didn't have to earn it. Isn't that amazing? They didn't have to earn that bread. It was given. They didn't have to harvest it. They didn't have to work for it. All they had to do was just pick it up. It's sort of like eternal life. We don't have to work for it. In fact, many people think they should. Okay, but no. Eternal life is available to us, and we're going to find out how eternal life is available to us in a minute or so. All right. And Christ answered, "Very truly, I tell you, it's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said, "Sir, always give us this bread." And then this was the classic answer that we all know. I hope you all know it. Jesus said, "Look," and he declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Wow. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you will never go hungry and never be thirsty. Forever. Forever. And then it goes on in verse 40. "My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I'm going to raise them up at the last day." So here is this bread that if you receive Jesus Christ in your life, and if you eat this bread, you will be resurrected, you will have eternal life, and you will be with Jesus Christ forever. You will never thirst and you will never hunger. And you didn't have to work for it. Now let's move on into John chapter 6, verse 51, and describe who is this bread. Jesus Christ says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. And whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread, now here it is. This bread is what? This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So we have the manna from heaven. But now we have the bread, which is Jesus Christ's flesh. And he's saying, this bread is my flesh, which I will give. He hadn't been crucified at that moment, but he gave his flesh up, all right, so that we might have life. And then he goes on. And some people look at this and say, ooh, this doesn't sound right, but actually it's exactly right. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. There's that promise again. And for my flesh is real food, my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. How are we to eat his blood? How are we to eat his flesh and drink his blood? This is what he was telling them at that time, not knowing, all right, that he was to be crucified on the cross or that that crucifixion was about to come. He says, just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. Okay, so let's go on to the next verse in 58. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread, what did he say? The bread is his flesh. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. So now we've got to figure out, okay, what is the bread and what is the flesh? What is the blood that he wants us to eat and drink of? He makes it very clear. Jesus takes bread. And this is on the night of the Passover. And he says, when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to the disciples saying, and now here it is. Here's how he explains it all. Take and eat. This is my body. Take this bread. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink from it all of you. This is my blood. Of the covenant. The covenant was a promise, which is poured out for many for what? For the forgiveness of our sins. We can eat the bread and drink the cup for forgiveness of sins. We fulfill what Christ had said earlier. He says, whoever feeds on the bread will live forever. After we had explained this at the manoir on Thursday afternoon, and I know Walter was there, and this is a lot more detailed than what we discussed, I remember. But there was a lady there, her name is Cecile, wonderful lady. And she says, after we finished our Bible study, she says, now I understand something. And I said, what is that? She says, well, I used to go to the Greek Orthodox Church. And after every service, as we were leaving church, they gave us a little piece of bread. Isn't that interesting? Now, I don't know much about the Greek Orthodox and how they conduct their order of service. But now if you understood at that time what we've just read and understand, getting a little piece of bread as you leave church, that's a great reminder, isn't it? You see, it says, if we feed on the bread, feed is daily. If we feed on Christ daily, the bread of life, we live forever. See, so Jesus says, okay, I've explained it all to you, but now I want to go one step further. I'm giving you a commandment. He says, and he took the bread, he gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them and said, this is my body given for you. And then he says, do this. Do this in remembrance of me. And we will in just a few minutes, because we will honor him and we will celebrate and we will thank him and we will share with him his bread, his flesh. And so after Jesus had said this, the apostles started to meet. And they devoted, as it says in Acts chapter 2, I think it is, whoops, in Acts chapter 2, they devoted themselves to teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. And since that moment, since early, around 35 or 40 AD, the Lord's table has been observed. Everybody observed. Just as Christ said, do this in remembrance of me. So let's now, together, and I'll step down and we'll ask Wanda, and I'm going to ask Walter to join me, and we will celebrate, okay, the sharing of the Lord's table, and we will remember, as Christ has said, what this bread really means, and it's that for eternity, we will be able to be with Christ thanks for his sacrifice. And when we see bread, remember, it's God's word. Remember, it's the bread of freedom. Remember, it's the bread of life.